Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Octavio Marenzi. I've had Octavio on the show a couple times prior to this. I bring him on about once a month. Octavio is the CEO of Optimus LLC. Now, Octavio, let's start off with kind of broad market comments, because as much weakness as we saw that started to creep into the markets last week, the trading session on Friday brought back a lot of bullish comments. It was almost a key reversal day where the market started to sell off, and fairly early on in the trading session got a buy, and we're seeing the continuation of that today, especially in the S&P and Dow. The S&P is up almost 1%. The Dow is up almost 2%. The NASDAQ is lagging, but that really speaks to what we've seen in this market, a bit of a rotation out of tech and more into, well, let's call it more of this economic restart type of trade. What do you think, Octavio? These markets, did any of that weakness from last week influence your outlook for these markets?
Not really. I think what we saw was about 3 days of weakness in the markets, and it's been a spectacular run over the course of the past year, and I think that's likely to continue. So I think it's very hard to sort of say there's a trend based on 3 days of trading activity. These markets look upward bound, and I think that will continue as long as the Fed pursues its monetary policy, as long as the Fed keeps interest rates really low. I think we're going to see new records set on a daily basis, but certainly on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, that will continue. So as long as the Fed plays long, the market should be absolutely fine.
Now, by the Fed playing along, we did hear from Powell last week, and quite frankly, Powell has reiterated time and time again that the Fed is kind of on the sidelines. They do have a very easy monetary policy right now, but they haven't changed it for a while. Do you think that the Fed needs to change their policy, or quite frankly, what they're doing now seems to be enough for the markets?
Well, for the markets, it's great. So a lot of that liquidity is pouring directly into stocks. You know, the Fed goes out and buys bonds, and that liquidity then finds its way into the equity markets and is very buoyant for it. So to say they're on the sidelines, I think, is a bit inaccurate. I mean, they're buying up bonds at a furious rate. It's true that they haven't increased the rate at which they're buying bonds, or they haven't lowered interest rates even further. But to say they're simply on the sidelines, I don't accuse them of being disingenuous, but I think that's sort of stretching the truth a bit. I mean, certainly they haven't changed their policy. I'll give them that. But they're not on the sidelines. They're very, very actively involved in the markets. And the Federal Open Markets Committee is buying bonds like crazy. I mean, it's, to say they're on the sidelines is a bit off the mark, I think.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. But they just haven't changed their policy, right? And even when it comes to the bond market, that's been a real focus for everybody, is yields, especially on the long end, continuing to rise. And again, the Fed seems okay with this rise, but there are a lot of pundits saying the Fed's going to have to step in and do something. We're already seeing today the 10-year back above that 1.6%. What do you think about the Fed's actions in the bond market and the running of the long end?
Well, the Fed has always historically and now to focus on the short end of things. So they've basically let the long end interest rates basically take care of themselves and say, we are going to focus on managing the short term interest rates up to 1, 2, or 3 years, something around that time. So those are the kinds of bonds that they buy, rather than buying 30-year bonds and influencing that end of the market. That being said, there's nothing to stop them from doing that. They could easily go out and start to buy 30-year bonds and drive the yields on those bonds down. I think if we carry on seeing it go up, interest rates inching up, and I think what the markets are basically saying is we want to see some sort of inflation premium, because we think in a few years' time there's going to be inflationary pressures that mount more and more. So we want to get a premium for holding those bonds on the longer end of it. They will be forced to do something at some stage. So as interest rates creep up on the longer end, that's going to hit your tech stocks more, and longer term and growth stocks and things of that sort, and there'll be demands then for them to do something, like you've heard, like you mentioned. So I think they will have to do that at some stage, but I think the Fed, in a certain way, has boxed itself into a corner, and it's hard to see how they get out of it. They basically have this ultra-low monetary policy. It looks like the markets have become utterly dependent on that, either consciously or unconsciously. And if they take away those really low interest rates, I fear the markets will crash quite quickly. So it's unclear how they unwind this monetary policy they put in place, but we'll see. Maybe Powell will be able to pull another rabbit out of the hat and do something miraculous.
Do you think at any time this year the Fed at least talks about slowing down or turning a bit more hawkish in their monetary policy, stepping a bit away from the markets?
I think we might see them do that towards the end of the year and sort of test the waters a bit. And I think they're going to put up some balloons and see how does the market react to it and what happens if we start to sound a bit more hawkish. And they'll see how the markets respond to that. So that's, I think they'll carefully dip a toe into the water and see just by talking a bit and maybe by raising interest rates a slight bit and seeing what happens. And I think as soon as the market reacts negatively, they'll pull that toe back out of the water and say, no, we're going to carry on with the current regime, with the current policy, as far as the eye can see. So that's what I think will happen towards the latter half this year.
So then in terms of sectors that are benefiting here, as I mentioned on the onset, tech has been lagging, but we have seen other areas like the banking sector and also other areas that are doing better. Is there any maybe select few areas that you see as taking the lead here for the next, let's call it the near term?
Well, I think obviously those stocks that have been hammered by COVID shutdowns and are coming back to life now should do fairly well. So travel stocks, things of that sort, dependent, of course, on vaccines working and not new mutations showing up of the virus. So that should be okay. I think the stocks that are interesting to watch are the banking stocks, who benefit basically from this China change in the yield curve and the interest rates that we've been seeing. So banks, if you think about it in a highly simplistic way, basically borrow money short-term from depositors and they lend it out longer-term to people who borrow money to buy houses or finance companies or things of that sort. So the difference between the long-term and the short-term interest rates basically is their interest rate margin. And that has been going up. So that's been really beneficial for banks or bank stocks. And I think, frankly, some of the bank stocks are looking a bit cheap at the moment. So if I look at someone like a Morgan Stanley or a Goldman Sachs or even a JP Morgan, their price earnings multiples are way, way below what you see in some of the tech stocks. And these are solid companies, I think, with really good outlook. So I'd be interested in looking at that sector and digging around a bit in there and seeing, are there some bargains to be had in the banking stocks?
Okay, Octavio, let's also talk a little bit about the precious metals, gold in particular, because gold just continues to sell off. Today is another down day for gold, and it's continuing to sell off throughout today, actually, on the spot market's down $18. On the future market, it's down over $20. This weakness in gold makes sense when you see interest rates continue to rise, but do you see this run out of gold ending sometime soon?
Well, I think probably the Fed will have to say at some stage, we're going to have to lower these interest rates longer term, and that's going to become, I think, very bullish for gold. That being said, I think for many investors, gold has been seen as sort of an inflation hedge. There's, of course, many different reasons for buying gold. One is inflation hedge or afraid of inflationary pressures. Another, just a bunch of momentum players who see the price of gold going up and therefore think we have to get in on this. I think a lot of the people who would have historically looked to gold as an inflation hedge have been sort of drawn into Bitcoin and things of that sort. So I would have expected gold to do much, much better than it has over the course of the past 6-7 months. But a lot of those people have actually said, okay, Bitcoin is sort of like the new gold. Let me put some money in there, take it out of gold, push it into Bitcoin, and use that as an inflation hedge instead. So that, I think, is what we've seen gold be hammered by. It's the interest rates on the one part, but also this idea that Bitcoin is the new gold, or at least that impression that many people have.
Where do you stand on that argument?
I think on the Bitcoin side, what we're going to see at some stage, if it really starts to get used as a payment medium, is that the regulators will shut it down. I mean, the central banks are not going to be very happy about having someone compete with their monopoly on money. And even wars have been fought over this, to have that right to be able to print money and mint coins. So I don't see the central banks giving up that up lightly. So if Bitcoin starts to continue, aside from just having the sort of stratospheric growth in terms of its value, if it really starts to become the payment medium, it really starts to be how people account and hold deposits and things of that sort, I'd expect the regulators to come in and say, we can't do this anymore. It's too dangerous. It's not traceable. Terrorists are using it. Drug dealers are using it, and try and shut it down that way. So I would expect to see that happen if it carries on this path and becomes an established payment medium.
All right, so more regulators stepping in, and it does seem like Bitcoin is at least making that move towards a bit more acceptance and daily use, but still has a ways to go. But it's that whole mentality around Bitcoin, too, is a speculative investment and one that has done very well for those holders. How do you look at Bitcoin then simply as an investment outside of that whole argument, is gold or Bitcoin a better inflation hedge?
Listen, in terms of investment with Bitcoin, I have absolutely no idea. And I think it's a fool's errand to try and predict where Bitcoin is going to go. I mean, I've had people ask me many, many times, where do you think Bitcoin is going? Is it going to hit $100,000 for Bitcoin and things like that? It's a very difficult thing to value. It seems to be a very emotional kind of asset, driven by emotions and fears more than anything else, and so almost impossible to predict. So I'm going to take a pass on trying to predict where Bitcoin is going. I think that's an almost impossible thing to do. The only thing I could say is either it's going to go to zero or it's going to go right through the roof, one of those two. And I think in all likelihood, like I said before, the regulators will take it to task and take it apart.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. You are right. Really, anything's possible, it seems like, for Bitcoin, either astronomical prices or crashing. But hey, right now there is still a lot of attention on Bitcoin and still a lot of money that is flowing in and out of it. Some wild volatility, as we have seen in the past. Octavio, great chatting with you. Very interesting. I like having you on the show. I think you take a very good and level-headed look at all these markets and, well, really just understanding where money has been flowing and where it is flowing right now within these markets. Octavio, great chatting with you. Thank you again for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Good talking to you. Thanks.